Today's gospel, cryptic as it happens to be, there's a few parables that I'm always asked, what on earth does this one mean? And this is one of the ones that people are usually, what on earth is Jesus talking about? It comes very similar to that time when Jesus says, you cannot serve two masters, you cannot love God and mammon. Basically, in short, you have to pick which one is your God, God or money, because you can't worship both. If you worship both, Jesus says pretty plainly, you will hate one and love the other, and then vice versa. So it usually, that's the problem of worldliness, is that it usually results in spiritual mood swings. At one moment, we love God, and we're super happy, and we're thankful for him, and we love him to bits. And then the next moment, when he warns us about giving in to the lures of the world, then all of a sudden we get angry at God for ruining our bottom line and all that other stuff. And then the whole thing flip-flops. So then eventually you love money and you think it's going to keep your protection and your security. And then all of a sudden the securities market is not so secure anymore and the anger happens. And we become emotionally inconsistent because we, in the end, as Paul warns us, we get carried away by the winds of the world rather than actually having a solid faith that can rain or shine come what may. So today's gospel is very similar to this because what Jesus is warning us is, in a sense, to be spiritually consistent. Don't try to have halfway, have the old wineskins, and then have the new wineskins, new wine with old wineskins. If you are going to be a disciple of mine, truly be consistent with it. And it gets phrased located with this particular situation when he's asked about fasting. And he says that the fasting of my disciples is no longer governed by anything else but by me. This is another one of those moments when, you know, Jesus is either a crazy megalomaniac or the Son of God. Because he's saying all the old fastings, all of that stuff is now relative to my presence. I am with them, they don't fast. This is the same reason why Catholics do not fast on a Sunday. Why Catholics don't fast, especially during special octaves or solemnities, because Christ is with us. So even if you have a practice of austere spiritual discipline, get over yourself and have a good time. Because one of the really profound lessons of the gospel is that it is not by our own efforts that we are saved, but by the grace and mercy of the Father revealed in Christ. Which means, of course, that if we then have any spiritual practice that does not have him as its circumference, we might lose it. And by might, I mean you will. It will inevitably crumble. And so we have to be very aware of how this works out. So in the book of when Prophet Amos is speaking, he's warning the people that, and it's actually now he's giving more of the consolation. For like the last few days, he's been giving warning upon warning upon warning upon warning. And I mentioned when Amos first started that his primary concern was to have Israel rediscover the integration of their faith. You can't have a religious practice that does not prompt you to take care of the orphan, the widow, and the stranger. And that was Amos's chief complaint. People would worship and celebrate and offer all their sacrifices, but it didn't seem to penetrate deep within them. And so if you don't repent, then it will be ripped out of you. Because we either have a choice. We will learn to be spiritually consistent, or the world will make us spiritually consistent. In the same way that 2008 was a massive check on the unfettered capitalism of the Western world, in the same way that the fall of the Soviet Union was the realization of their own internal spiritual and moral corruptions, you can only take loans on your future for so long before the whole thing feeds back. So Christ and the prophets warn us about this particular mystery. And where does Mary fit in with this? Mary is the person who willingly accepts being rejected from the inside of the world's blessings because she wants to hold fast to the faith that the Father has given her. I never tire of meditating on how at every stage Mary takes the lowest place, but she does it slightly differently than I find the rest of us do. Cheerfully. Very cheerfully. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word. This is an interjection. It has this kind of skipping a beat before the angel even finishes his sentence. She says, oh, pick me. I want to be known as a single mother in this particular period in time. Pick me. I want everybody to think I'm a tramp and all this other stuff. Oh, pick me. I want a difficult life and an uncertain future. Oh, pick me. I want poverty and difficulty and tragedy and loss. Pick me. That's nuts. And usually we get really angry when these things happen to us because we learn that God is not our priority but these things. Whereas Mary reveals the fact that God is her priority because she is willing to endure these difficulties so that her faith may be proven, her faith may be seen, and then not just so that she can boast, but so that she can in fact just be faithful. This is the kind of faith that truly marks spiritual maturity. Not that we do the right thing, not that we're good boys and girls, but that we do it joyfully. And this is a tremendous mark of real growth. When we know what God is calling us to do, and regardless, it is our goal. Regardless, it is our happiness. Regardless, it is the source of life that we happen to have. So it doesn't have all of that conflict, that interior rumbling. Now, mind you, before I go any further, I don't want you to think that because you're about to do something kind for love of Jesus, and then, of course, you find yourself going, these stupid, selfish people, why don't they do their part? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, good. Make that a part of your sacrifice. You don't need to wash that over. You just need to be able to use that interior resentment for your own benefit. Yes, I hear myself feeling angry and resentful that it feels as if I'm doing all the work and nobody else is contributing. But God has only called me to do my part. He hasn't called me to do his part or her part or all their other thing. He's called me to be faithful. Mary has every right to look at the church with disgust and disdain. Think about it. She has every right to look on us with disgust and disdain. How come I'm the one that has to suffer all the pains and yet I haven't sinned? How come I'm the one who has to lose her only son and give him up for others? How come I'm the one who has to give up my future? And yet, when we go to her son's kingdom, do we imagine her having her arms crossed and saying, now your trials begin before you can enter my house? Or do you think her arms are going to be like this? Marian piety, rosaries, all of these things are meant to inculcate in us the very heart that Mary revealed. And it's a perfect echo of the heart of her son. Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word. And then with the prophets, the apostles, the evangelists, and all the holy women throughout history, we might learn that true joy is not getting, but giving.